Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Time for your questions, our answers. If you've got a question, you can submit that to us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to speak with us directly, 1-800-927-SHOW, toll-free coast-to-coast, 1-800-927-SHOW. Had a number of questions come in, Holly. We'll get through what we can get through to the top of the hour.
Okay, so I have a parsnip plant I didn't harvest last year, and it's now going to seed. I'm considering letting it go to seed and leaving the area of garden for parsnips. Should I do that, or can they become a problem, plant taking over?
Well, you can let it go to seed. We did this about 10 years ago. You can let it go to seed. It will look like a miniature palm tree with several thousand seeds coming off of it, and it's not a bad thing. You can catch the seeds early on, you know, when they're in the mature, just before they drop. And if you don't get them, you're going to have a whole bunch of parsnips coming up next year. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. So if you don't like where they have fallen and they're germinating, you can always just extract them out and throw them in the compost pile. But you can save quite a bit of seeds. And many people think that parsnips are only good for 1 year. However, we save seeds 5 years out, and they were still very good. So you can certainly do that. Here's a canning question for you, Holly. I see a lot of pictures on social media with the canning jars after their process turned upside down on their lids. Why is this done, and is this necessary?
Okay, so first of all, it is not necessary, and you should not do it. Back in the day, they used to put wax, paraffin wax, at the top of their canning jars, and then when they got out of the canner, they would flip it over because it would help the wax seal, do its thing, whatever. I don't know why people still do it. I don't know who's teaching people to do that. It's not good. You don't want to do it. You just want to pull them out, leave them right side up, let them ping, let them seal, do their thing. Don't turn them over. It's not going to guarantee a better seal. We're not using wax anymore.
It can also inhibit.
It can also inhibit a seal. So please don't do that unless you are literally using the wax, which you shouldn't be. Don't do it.
All right. There you go. Let's see. What's the next question here, Holly? How do you get all of the roots out of the ground when digging in the weed up? It seems like you would have to dig up the entire garden.
Yeah. So you just want to dig out as much of the root as possible.
You're not going to get
everything. You're not going to get everything. You're not. You don't. You need like an excavator to do that. No, you just as much as visible. So as much as possible, as much as visible. Don't lose your mind tracing a root all the way around your soil, just as much as possible.
And then repetitively, sooner or later, repetitively, you'll end up getting all the roots because you're gonna continue to pull out the weed, and you'll get it that way. Okay, can you explain to me what is black soil?
Sure. So black soil has contained a high percentage of humus and a high percentage of phosphoric acids, phosphorus, and ammonium. So it's just a very nutrient dense soil. Humus is a growing medium essentially, and when it's black soil, just means it has it's a very high fertile soil that is going to be easy to grow in.
Which what you want to, you know, compost, you get that that color of that blackness, which is an indication that it can be very, very rich with nutrients.
Yeah, so humus is actually another word for finished compost, essentially. So once all the natural organic material, such as leaves, food scraps, garden waste, what have you, is broken down, that is humus, and it's that dark, nutrient-rich, moisture-retentive soil.
Well, that brings us to the next question here. I've tried growing in compost, but it always seems to that the water doesn't flow through it very well. The compost gets hard and nothing really grows very well. Maybe it's the type of compost I'm using. I get compost from the local nursery and it comes in a giant bag. Any advice? Thank you.
Sure. So you want to mix in some potting soil with the compost and then use mulch to keep it from drying out.
Yeah, it seems like the drying out part is the issue here because we've had that. We've had very loose, fluffy compost. When kept moist, there was no, you know, dry up. Any soil is going to kind of do that unless it's like potting soil. It's going to that brick. But if you keep it moist or, you know, you incorporate what you're talking about, potting soil or sand or something, you know, organic matter to break up some of those particles so it doesn't bond so tightly when it dries out. The drying out is the problem here.
Right. So, yeah, you want to use the mulch. You want to maybe mix in some potting soil, what have you. Okay, so our next question is I need help coming to terms with soil testing. I have 7 raised beds and a few fruit trees. One local extension office charges $15. For basic tests for each sample, it's a good price. But if I were to test all my spaces, it would get expensive quickly. Are there any good bulk or DIY options? Most of the beds were created and filled as we were able to use the soil each time of them is pretty much different. So they're filled different times.
Right. As financial ability was given, they just got soil right. And filled. Yeah. Okay. So it's an investment. In order to know exactly what one has, you need a soil test. $15 for a test. You may think, you know, it seems like a lot, but if you have multiple areas, your local university extension is probably going to be the most cost effective. And it's they're going and based on how much money you want to put towards a test will determine how many analyzations and what they're testing for. You know, you get your basic pH level testing. Then you can also pay a little bit more and get a test that they have, you know, specific nutrients in it or if there's toxicities in it. But your local university, there are online facilities where you can buy an item off the big A store and you buy it and you fill the thing up and you send it up to their lab and they email you back the results, which is great, fine, wonderful. But local is probably best when it comes to soil testing. Whenever, you know, it $15, yes, it costs a little bit, but it's a peace of mind knowing what you should and should. And in the long run, if it says you're adding too much of this, you can stop adding that and save the money from adding that. Or if you need to add something, get everything to where – and this is not an every year thing, Holly. This is about every 3 to 5 years you need to do this.
I guess – so the way I look at it is, yes, it is a cost, right? But you made an investment in your soil, in your yard, if you're growing in the ground. You made an investment in raised beds or containers, what have you. Containers aren't as concerning as much as like raised beds or around fruit trees. That's right. Another investment. So
sometimes a fruit tree can last 50 years.
Right, definitely. So sometimes an investment is also meaning maintaining, like maintaining your soil, and that would include getting a soil test.
Right.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.